This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth.
I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. The greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, not in the bottom square today, but somewhere on the east side. Okay, it's the guy that goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Creeping through the east side.
What's going on, boys? I feel like just locked and loaded. I mean, these are the dog days of summer. This is what we dream about when we're in Sadcast in February, so... here we are, and I'm living it. Hit the Mariners game today. Saw, you know, nice little victory, and yeah, we're good.
All right, back there in the top left corner, get the studio all set up, live from Palm Springs, Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Ted. Great to see you.
I don't want to jinx anything. Matt will back me up on this. Cobb will say he remembers or doesn't. But my bold prediction was that the Mariners will play like at least one game after 162.
What is 162?
Oh, yeah.
Man?
It's a 162 game season. So I'm like, they'll at least get to a playoff.
I think that was a Cobb topic, right?
Yeah, like a play-in game or something. So I don't want to say postseason, but I'm just guaranteeing, I'm predicting a game at least after the regular season ends.
Dude, well, they're in position to do it apparently right now.
Dude, the Mariners are on fire. And frankly, as long as I've lived here, like, it's just been Seahawks and Sounders. Like, I'm so excited. Well, in the storm. But I'm so excited to see, I think it's awesome. When T-Mobile's packed, it's rocking. Like, I got home last night, watched the end of that extra innings game. You got a series win against the Yankees. Like, I got a new jersey. Well, somebody gave me a jersey today. But I'm like, yeah, let's go, Mariners. Like, I walked by one of the guys I work with, Chaz, one of our IT guys. He's a massive Mariners fan, right? That's his thing. Nice. So I walked by wearing the giveaway jersey that I got from Migs, and I was like, hey, Chaz, is there room on the bandwagon? I'm ready to fucking jump.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, you know, Ted, this is one of the few times that I get to shine in sports history. But growing up, so for people who are here in the 90s, you know, it was all the talk was UW football and Sonics basketball. You know, the Sonics were hot, like, you know, 95, 97 in there. And the Mariners were hot at that time, too. I mean, that was the era of, you know, refuse to lose, Soto, Mojo, et cetera, et cetera. And then I feel like the last time the Mariners made the playoffs was probably 2001. But what's weird is it was always UW football and Seattle basketball. And then at some point, it just it switched. And now no people don't really talk about UW football that much, but like UW basketball was super hot in like, you know, for like the 10 years after 2000. And it was all Seahawks all the time. And so now, you know, I don't know where we're at in that cycle or whatever, but I remember a time when that was the talk of the town, you know? So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I didn't even live here, but I knew UW's football program, right? That 91 team is unreal. It's a shared national title, but you can argue that might be the best college defense of all time.
So like, that's what I'm saying. And the Seahawks were garbage at that point.
Yeah. And then when I moved here, right, I still cheered for, what are they now? The Commanders. Right. But I mean, I would go to games in like Commander's gear, and then I just got, and like, that's Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander. But then I just got so annoyed with Dan Snyder. Like, Cobb, you remember when we first started hanging out, like, I didn't watch much NFL. And then I was like, all right, I'll start watching Red Zone again. And then, like, I was like, well, I'm done with Washington. It's like, you know what? Screw it. I'll start cheering for the Seahawks. And then they got really good.
Dude, and, you know, I got to stand up for the man. No conversation about Sean Alexander would be complete without talking about Max Strong, because he blocked for 10 1,000-yard rushers. So, you know, just saying.
Impressive.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you got Hutchinson on that line, Big Waltz on that line. Like, those were good teams.
Yeah, they were. Damn, that's wild. Well, yeah, and then, I mean – now you get me into like nostalgia Mariners, dude. You're talking like, you know, Randy Johnson, Norm Charlton, like Tino Martinez, Edgar Martinez, Griffey. I mean, Jay Buhner, you know, Coleman. I mean, it gets, you know, like there was A-Rod was on it. I mean, it was great. Joey Cora. You know, it's just like, damn, Dan Wilson. I mean, you know, we had some studs and, you know, some people remember that era. But yeah, I feel like Mariners, I'm always ready. Like I'm on the edge of my seat. Like I want to get back on board, but they just, you know, they just haven't had that playoff oomph. And the talk around town is that this is the year. So we'll see.
Plus, honestly, like it's just a fun team to watch. Like they're having fun. They're dancing afterwards. Me and Migs can't get over. You guys know Jen Mueller, like the sports reporter.
Mm-hmm.
She just like, we always are amazed how quick her feet are when they dump water on the dude that won player of the game and she can get away from it. And like literally today on the MegaCast, I was like, I want to tweet at her. Like, are you working the ladder? Like, what are we doing? Like, are you in the gym just like popping in and out like a wide receiver? Cause it's amazing. She's wearing like heels and like dress clothes. And it's like, we were saying like, you think our trainer just has like a bucket of confetti, like ready, go. Like, God,
again. That's awesome, dude. Matt, in your professional trainer opinion, you think she's working the ladder?
Gotta be. I mean,
what else for footwork inside of a gym? You can do a lot of stuff, yeah. But the ladder drills, whether you're just tapping in, tapping out,
perfect.
In, yeah, I'm like, yeah. I've convinced myself she's just crushing ladder drills all the time.
Makes perfect sense. Checks out.
That's awesome.
All right, so we've been gone for a couple weeks. Obviously we'll start talking a little bit about Summer Meltdown. I just want to start here with Summer Meltdown. Listen, I love that festival. It was in a different venue. The people that, you know, we're friends with Josh and his wife that run it and stuff, and there's some things that are out of their hands, so it was definitely different. And there were some things like they'll improve on, but like I felt like when I was there, everybody was having a good time. That Facebook group, man, there's some pissed off people. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I still like it still felt like Meltdown where everybody was super cool and like kind to each other. So I'm like, I get it wasn't what it used to be, but like, I mean, I still had a blast. I thought it was great.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I had a. I thought it was just, you know, there's bound to be growing pains coming back a couple of years after a pandemic, which no festival producer ever could have planned for. And, you know, that's just a wild ass break. And then, you know, to also have to move venues during that, you know, and then, yeah, the weather being that hot, you know, is just, there's certain things that, you know, were just, it was a little intense, but it's always kind of part of the festival experience. It's like, yeah, you're out there in nature and the elements and, you know, let's get after it. And, you know, in the moment, yeah, I thought it was awesome. Everybody that I met was also just having, you know, the time of their lives and so glad that it was back on and missed the break, and people that were there for their first time were just amazed. And yeah, it was a really great time. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, it was just another example of like the internet and then real life. And then, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of loudness on the internet of, you know, people saying what they got to say. And in real life, I don't know, if you're having a good time, you'll meet other people having a good time, I guess.
Feel like you get back what you put out. Quick asterisk. Anybody who camped in like the upper camping thing, I feel for you. That was a bloodbath up there. But everything else, pretty enjoyable. I mean, I just tried to not come into it like comparing it to the old, because comparison is the thief of joy. You know, I was just like, hey, brand new festival. I get to go watch some music. Cool. So coming into it that mindset, I feel like it made it a lot easier to really enjoy it. I had an awesome time, dude. I don't remember crossing paths with you guys out there, but I was dancing for like two, three hours both nights. I was just having a blast. I was like running around by myself most of the time, just thriving. And it was just like, I don't know, man, there's so many people that those things that we know now that I feel like you just keep constantly seeing, excuse me, keep constantly seeing your friends and stuff. Like, I don't know, I had a blast. I thought there was some great music. The lineup was good. Like, you know, they stocked the fish pool with enough stuff that you could have a great time. And if you didn't, that's kind of on you. Although, you know, there was certainly some major changes from the last venue, but I just view it as a new festival.
Yeah, and you're right. Camping up top there, that's different. Everybody had to haul the stuff up there, but like, they didn't know the farmer was going to cut down all those trees. And like, I guess like half the shuttles didn't show up because people had COVID. So like, they didn't even have half the shuttle buses they were supposed to. And then you're right. Nobody could have planned for like that heat wave in the hottest 4 days in Monroe. Like, so that's like, people have gripes, but I agree with both of you. I think people have valid gripes. I also agree with Matt that I think people were much cooler in person, and on the internet, it's easier to kind of be like, oh, this sucked, that sucked. But yeah, I don't know. That was the best time I think I've ever had. That was clearly the most I've ever danced at Summer Meltdown.
Yeah, Ted's a dancer now, baby.
You're grooving.
That's what I love. It's awesome. A new era, man.
Yeah, and like, even like Friday night, like me and Matt and Tyler were standing there. Like, I was citrusing hard, man.
Dude, like at the airbase. You said airbase on this podcast before. But see that in person, man. That got me for three nights straight, dude. I mean, goddamn.
What's air bass?
Bravo.
Well, everybody plays air guitar. I play the air bass.
Very well.
That's right, awesome. Citrus, like that bass player had like so many solos, and Matt was just like it. My hype man. I'm just like getting it, like using my beer, like pulling out on the, like, I don't even know what you call that part of it. And, like, it's just so funny. It's like I said, even Thrill, who plays bass, I've done it at a wedding. He's like, God damn it. It almost looks like you know how to play a bass. And I'm like, I don't, but I can watch people do stuff and kind of mimic it.
Just copy them. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, we've been laughing about that ever since. Like, that airbase has been paying dividends on the laughs department, man.
Yeah, Ted's a big airbase guy.
Right. Well, so right, like Thursday night was cool. Friday night, like Citrus was probably the favorite band I saw Friday night.
Yeah.
Right.
They were so awesome.
Right. I've been dancing for 2 days already, but I was pumped to see Travis Thompson in person. Like, I listened to his music, but I'd never seen him live. And like our buddy Justin Barnes, he's always like, dude, he crushes it live. So, like, I knew most people in our camp were in, but, like, also, people should know, if you ever go to a music festival with me, like, I'm not Mr. I gotta be up front in front of the stage. Travis Thompson, like, before he even started, like, I forget who was right before him, but, like, I walked over there as Booty Shorts Gnome and just got as close as I could. And, like, I had ditched the booze. I had two bottles of water on me, and I was like, all right, like, I'm getting ready. And then, like, I kept throwing up my gnome hat, but, like, nobody showed up. And you're right. It was just me. Fake Esh was in front of me. I was bullshitting with him. And then...
You were too deep in there, dude. We couldn't even see you.
Yeah, I never saw you, dude.
Oh, yeah. So I'm saying, I was, like, seven rows back from Travis. And
everybody was like, where's Ted? Have you seen Ted? I want to be by Ted. And it was like, damn. And then finally we got up close enough where we could see you. Like, but we were like, there's no way we could get to him. Like, but look, he's up there, he's having a great time.
He's in the mix.
The other funny thing was, like again, I never run over to a stage. I like walk right over and was just like, I didn't even look for anybody. It's like, I'm going to watch this set. And then, like, as you could tell, Travis was getting close to getting on. Like, I started stretching and, like, doing some lunges. Yep. And I hear these two behind me, and they were like, oh, man, like, the gnome stretching. Like, this is going to be a good set.
It's about to go down. That's how you know, dude. That's how you know.
Dude, the live drummer just makes it with hip-hop. Like, that was so sick.
It was also impressive that, like, it was still hot Saturday night. Like, the sun had just gone down. They're bouncing around stage and just chiefing joints. And I was like, man, I'm like I'm out of breath just out here dancing. I can't imagine putting on a show and then every other second being like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
Young Bucks, man.
All right. So then the other thing was, I don't know if I told you guys this story on Sunday, right? So for people that don't know, I'm wearing a gnome costume, but just the top half. And then I'm just wearing the shortest blue shorts I own. No pockets. And I've got my Dick's fanny pack across my chest. But when you go in and out of the venue in the beer garden, if you just have your 21 and over wristband, you don't have to show ID. So I completely did not bring my, I didn't bring my wallet or anything. So there's like, Travis is probably 2/3 of the way done, maybe 3/4. And I'm like, ooh, I got to go get another water. And I'm like, and they're like, what's up? No. Or they're like, what's up? And I was like, two bottles of water, please. And she like hands them over. And I look at my little fanny pack and I go, oh no, the gnome's out of money. And everybody laughs. And she goes, you know what, gnome, you look pretty sweaty. Like, here's a bottle of water. And then some other couple's like, Ted Smith, can we get you a drink? I was like, no, like, I don't need a drink right now. The bartender's like, you want another water? And I was like, please. But I think if I had just said, I'm out of money, she wouldn't have had sympathy, but it just got her. But I go, the gnome's out of money.
So good.
That is great, dude. Just depersonalize it a little bit.
Yeah, right. And then everybody got really worried because I was just, man, like, I was just like, I got to go back to camp. I got to get this gnome costume off. So then, like, Josh and Gretchen were like, don't fall asleep in that chair. And I'm like, I'm fine. And finally, my buddy Rob, who was the other gnome, he just turns the corner and he's like, what's up, dude? And I'm like, man, I was going real hard during that Travis set. Like, I'm just catching my breath. And he like takes his shirt off. We drink a Gatorade, chug a beer. Then I was like, I'm just going to put on a light up hoodie, but let's go see Grizz.
Nice. Back in action.
Back in action. And then, I went over to see Champagne Drip, but I only saw a small amount because my buddy Sean, like, he had shown up on Saturday. A little bit of an error on my part. I probably should have shown him where the venue was before nightfall. So, like, I help him find the bathrooms, and then we're in there. And Champagne Drip, I mean, that was just, right? So I'm in there just, like, getting it, and I feel this tap on my shoulder, and I'm just like, what? He's like, I'm so sorry. I got to get back to camp. I have no idea how to get there. And I go, okay. Give me three more. And he's like, three more what? I'm like, I need three more bass drops, then we can go.
Dude, yeah, that's Champagne Drip. I danced the entire time. I went off. That was the hardest I've gone in 2 years, probably. I was feeling that. I'm with you. I didn't even see you. I was just like parading myself through the crowd. I don't even know what to say. Right up near the front. But yeah, that was that guy. One of our DJ, one of our mutual DJ club DJ friends recommended him, and he was like, "Hey, make sure you see Champagne Drip. That guy knows what he's doing." And damned if he wasn't correct. Ted, I'm glad you were in there feeling that too.
Oh yeah, because when we were on the beach, I was sitting up there BSing with him, and he told me the same thing. He's like, "Dude." He's like, first of all, I get this river party and why you never shut up about it. But he's like, second of all, like, don't miss Champagne Drip. And that was the first night I had actually been into the late night tent. So I was just like just getting it. And I was like, all right, I'll walk you back. And then by the time I walked him back and started to come back over, it was like, you could tell it was ending. I was like, damn, all right.
Yep. It's, you know, it's never easy out there.
I should also mention that Saturday on the river, I say it every year. If you find me a better beach party in the state of Washington, like, tell me about it. I just don't know that you can. There's like cool people. There's people setting up DJ equipment. Like, we humped down a cooler. So we had a bunch of drinks and everything. And like, I mean, like, I didn't even know Evo was there until I saw him on the beach, or like our other buddy came over and jumped on me in the water. Also, I have to mention, Cobb and I have a mutual friend named Evo. Evo is a very attractive man, and he's wearing a Speedo. And, like, I'm not going
to name European.
He's European. I'm not going to name names. But you guys are up on the beach, and I'm like, oh, man, now it's like Evo, right? But he is just glistening. He's shredded. And I have never seen the girls in our group act like that. You know him? And I'm like, yeah, I know him. That's Evo. And then he starts, like, walking over, and they're like, oh, is he like coming over here? I'm like, yeah, I'm waving him in. Like, he's my buddy. I was like, I've never, like, I'm just like, man, you guys are always so cool. Like, you guys are legit on tilt, and like, you don't know how to handle yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. And it doesn't help that he's there with his like topless model girlfriend, you know?
Oh, I don't think they even noticed that he was there with a girl. They were just focused on him.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of man, that's for sure. Matt, who was your favorite person you saw, like, music wise
oh, Citrus, definitely Citrus. Yeah, they brought it, and they're from Seattle, and so Meltdown meant a lot to them. They're the whole weekend, they said, you know, and they're super stoked to be there. I always love Flow Motion. They were great this year. It was cool. And then Thursday night, Corey Wong too.
Wong was pretty good.
Corey Wong and Flow Motion kind of breaking in the new place, you know, felt really fitting and awesome for me. So yeah, I had a really good time with them. And then Citrus. Yeah. Live funk bands, baby. Just that's my favorite thing there every time.
Yeah, and if people want to look up Citrus, it's spelled Citrus, like C-Y-T-R-U-S.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, I think they have a new album coming out, and I don't know, album release show probably. I feel like a lot of bands play Meltdown, and then you could see them at Nectar Lounge in a few months headlining.
Yeah, you could see them at Nectar, or what's the big one up in Bellingham? Like the
Wild Buffalo.
The Wild Buffalo.
Scruffalo, baby.
Scruffalo?
Yeah, known locally as the Scruffalo, but yeah, it's the Wild Buffalo. I used to work around the corner. That's the only reason I know.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I'm with you. I think Citrus, Travis Thompson, Bluegrass, or was it Blue
Green Sky, Bluegrass?
Right, like, they were good on Sunday, but like, I was sitting in a chair. Like, I was by that point. Yeah. Like, I danced a little during Lettuce. And then Cobb, that's right, you weren't there on Sunday. See now Deep Eddie has that trailer, and there's those two, like, old school chairs?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, like, I looked at my buddy Dusty, and she's like, dude, if you need to sit down, like, we can go over there. And literally, nobody sits in those chairs. So to describe people, Deep Eddie brings, like a travel trailer that opens up with, like, stairs on it and has a little living room. But there's only two of these old school, I don't even know what you call them. They're not camping chairs. They remind me of what my grandma had in her backyard. Right? So she's like, dude, seriously, let's go sit in them. So we sit in them. The Deep Eddie people are like, yeah, whatever, they're yours. But the interaction with people waiting in line to get drinks was unreal. Like, people kept buying us drinks. And I was like, you know, like I was like, I think finally I told one, I was like, look, man, we are not VIPs. Like, you don't have to buy us a drink. Hey, can I buy you a drink? I was like, okay. I had like three drinks stacked up behind me. But like, people just kept coming over. And it was like a weird social experiment. Like, they couldn't help themselves.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, I hung out up there just for a little bit, like dancing and stuff. And same thing, I feel like I met a lot of people in a very short time.
Yeah, because
that's actually how I met that girl who's going to design my costumes for me. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool.
Yeah. Well, it was also funny, too. Like, Matt and Tyler weren't in there, but like, I was talking to a couple friends and I was like, yeah, I just had to sit down. My one buddy was like, you know, it was weird. On Sunday, once you finally stopped dancing after 4 days, he was like, it seemed like the whole crew kind of stopped dancing. It was like, oh man, we're all a little tired. I was like, hey, look, you guys live your life. But I was like, I was telling my buddy today that's a trainer. I was like, by Sunday night, I was like, my quads were just on fire.
Yeah, that bill came due for sure.
Sundays are always rough.
Right. And my other friend said, I felt like Sunday the music was a little slower. I was like, yeah, they know what they're doing. Like, Saturday night, you go ape shit, and then it's like they try to calm you, kind of back you back down on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it just felt nice to be at like an outdoor big concert since COVID. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, also just being outside in the beer garden, that purple shade structure they had was just so cool. And then Sunday I also took out my camera for the first time ever at Meltdown and like took pictures, because usually like our photography crew of our group, you know, our two main guys were out, and I was just like, I don't know who took some, but I want to get some. Like, I drove all this way, I flew up here, you know. It was just like, I was determined, you know. And it was awesome backdrop to like not just the pictures but all the memories. So many memories happened in that beer garden. I feel like the beer garden was one of the massive upgrades from the old place to the new place.
Yeah, because it used to be when you were in the beer garden, you couldn't really see the stage as much. But like, that beer garden was so big, and like, right, I thought it was awesome because you could see both stages. Like, and also like with our group of friends, it was like, you know, you could walk back to camp stuff, but it's like, if you hung out in like the center part of the beer garden, like eventually like somebody you know is going to walk by.
It was so nice how central and easy it was to find the crew back with the music. I felt like, yeah, it was just everyone was always meeting up in the same like 30-foot radius.
I know. Well, trust me, that shade structure was basically like a tapestry. So like, I've been checking it out. But Sunday night during that last set, like, I got caught. I got stuck a couple times, just like looking up, staring at it. And like, Dustin's like, "Yari," I was like, "Oh, I am great. I'm just, I haven't really like delved into this thing with live music going behind me."
That's awesome. Just getting lost in the sauce out there, Ted.
Oh, man.
Classic Festival Smith, I gotta say. Classic Festival Smith.
Well, and also, I mean, like, it's hard to explain to people, even just little things, though. Like we went over to the beer garden on Sunday. It's like, Joe and I always go down there on Sunday and, like, get daytime beers. And, like, there wasn't a band playing. So then, like, Josh had his speaker out. We're just playing, like, 90s rap. Like, I'm up dancing. Like, the also, I got to stop saying booty shorts. No, turns out I'm just trying to wear shorter shorts in general. So I had like a different pair. I was like, oh, you love these thighs. Like, soak it in.
Turns out Ted just didn't skip leg day all pandemic. Excited.
Let them know. Right. I don't know.
Show them the goods.
I like that strategy. They looked great. You know what? Yeah. Looked great, you're a single Ted. Man who's been training. You know, why not? Why not let them know? See these pythons.
All right. So Matt, right, Cobb and I were on the river on Friday, right? And like one of the DJs leaves, and the other dude just playing like old, like getting jiggy with it, missing that. And behind me, you can hear like Cobb and Taryn being like, I don't know about these vibes. And I'm just out there like getting jiggy with it, slowly just moving away from them. Like, all right, well, I'm going to keep dancing. I know there's other people in this river that like this.
Someone's got to represent, dude.
Right. Right. Honestly, like, we've been to that festival a lot. I don't know if the three of us have ever had that much fun at it.
Yeah, dude. I'm with you, honestly. I felt like I was flying. I felt pretty unstoppable most of the time out there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like, even on the river, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it seemed like if I hadn't seen Cobb in a while, like, we kind of float by, or like, we'd run into a mutual friend we knew. And same with like Matt and like your girl Tyler. Like, what are Matt? You know, like, citrus that just timed out. And it was like, oh yeah, let's stand here and dance.
Yeah. Dude, like, at one point, like, Taryn and I are having a conversation. She turns to look away. She turns back, and I'm just towing 10 topless women up the river. She's like, how did that happen? Like, it's just magic out there. It's just magic.
Also, one of my favorite pictures of the weekend is Joe takes a picture on the river on Friday, and it's Cobb and Taryn. They both look cool, hot in the river. But if you zoom in on Taryn's glasses, you see me with my pink hat on backwards, like, taking a sip of beer. It's just like, oh yeah, it's my favorite picture of me, even though it's not supposed to be it. I'm not the focal point, but I'm like, I'm in there. Just zoom in.
It is a great photo.
Dude, I made the official Meltdown Instagram, but same thing. I was blurred out of an ad. It's an ad for like a boxed drink on the river, and I'm just in the background looking off into space, you know, having a good time in my green shorts. But
it's, dude, I'm looking like, it up right now.
It's focused on the something box or something that he was like doing it in a tube, and then like I saw him. I'm glad it's that one, because there was a moment where I realized what he was doing, and I was like in the background looking like an idiot. I'm sure, like, oh, this is, you know, but this is like, I'm just kind of off to the side, could be doing anything in that one.
Well, is it this Cutwater Ranch Water thing?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was a box.
Oh, like, beat box. Oh, beat, yeah, box. I see you.
Yeah.
Dude, you are blurred hat. Out. That's awesome. Yeah. But very clearly you, I could tell by the pecs. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a fun ass, like, that river party, man. Like you said it, Ted, that is unbeatable. This year, I felt like we were all even more concentrated, and it was just bigger and better than ever. But yeah, I'm with both of you. I thought it was the best meltdown ever. You know, I know I put the most effort into it. Definitely brought it the hardest on my just wardrobe game. I wouldn't even call them costumes. They're just wardrobes, a lot of female clothes from Value Village, and, you know, just having a good time. And I was determined to, you know, make the most of it because I put the most into it. And then sure enough, yeah, best year ever. That river party was like, yeah, the lasting impression.
Yeah, and like, I'll wrap it up. We're gonna tell every story, but like, trying to explain to people the little things that happen at a festival like that, right? So the guys across the street from like our camp have this giant laser, right? They're from Texas. I don't even remember their names. Like, we were I only met them on Saturday walking to the river. Like, two nice guys. So when we get down there, we set up our cooler, and they're talking to me and my buddy Sean. My buddy Sean, they were saying like, yeah, we do lasers, like, we're the whatever guys. And Sean just makes this ridiculous joke about like, we're the like beer bandits. We just wait for young guys to let beers float down the river, and then we capture them. So it's like 2 hours later, Cobb, you're standing there with me with them. And something touches my leg, and I just reach in the water and like pull out an ice cold Michelob Ultra. And that dude was like, holy shit, you actually do this.
Dude, it was crazy. It looked like you caught a wild fish by hand. Like, that thing, dude, like, I was upstream from you. That thing came out of nowhere. Like, there's no, it was magic. I mean, seriously, like we would have seen it float through the middle of our group. Like, I have no idea how that happened. You just casually put your hand down by the side and then boom, just like caught a live one.
I mean, he literally jumped on me and was like, holy cow, like, you're dead serious. And I was like, that's how we do it. And I was like, but to try to explain to somebody, like, you could never set up a joke and then plan for like Matt to be down the river down upstream or downstream and float one upstream. But those little things happen, and it's like a magical moment for everybody involved.
Oh, I know that was so insane. Good. I totally forgot about that. That was hilarious. Yeah, I think his name was Alex. That guy was cool.
It was Alex.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and in the cop topic? All right, welcome back.
Three emails. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. You know what? They can hear that part of it. Welcome back to the podcast. We have three emails tonight. So, Kyle, let's read three of them.
Getting added to a list. What do you about ye to the greatest podcast in all the land?
All the land.
Talking of things that will get you on a government list. And funny enough, Matt brought it up in the last episode. After reading This Is Your Mind in Plants and watching How to Change Your Mind, I've taken an interest in mushrooms and LSD. In part of the world, they grow quite commonly. To be honest, I think they grow in my garden. I've taken an interest on how they can help with depression. Also, if anyone's going to Munich, hit me up. And Ted, I have a courier for Cobb's Popcorn, so I'll text you the details. Stay classy, Ron.
Ron, hey. I will be there.
You're going to Munich?
I am. Look, if the Seahawks play in Europe, I go watch them.
Dude, nice, man.
Look at the flag.
Are they playing in Germany? Is that planned?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing it. So kind of like when I saw them in London, it was like I walked up and saw the Emirates where Arsenal plays, even though they weren't playing. But also I got to see Wembley and see the Seahawks play. So this time, like, I get to see Bayern Munich Stadium is like world famous. So I'll see their stadium and get the Seahawks and go to Germany.
Dude, when nice. Is this? That sounds awesome.
I think it's like the week or two season. Before Thanksgiving.
Wow. Nice, dude. I'm pumped for you, Ted. That'll be rad. European Ted, the classiest one.
I'll tell you what. He's not that much different. He's just very excited.
How to describe your friends. Guten Morgen to the greatest podcast in all das Land.
All the land.
Ted, you're going to need to learn what that means if you're going to Germany.
I think it's the.
So me and a couple of friends were talking about how you describe your friends to other people. So I figured I'd give you how I would describe you guys. Ted, he's the I'm in guy. Never says no to a good time. Dude, that's actually totally true. Cobb, he's the smartest guy I've never met. Also the perfect mix of Ted and Matt. Down to party and tell you stuff he shouldn't, probably while wearing a nice suit. Matt, he's the friend that has no problem overtelling and sharing embarrassing stuff about himself. The man knows no shame. How the F do people get into those crazy ass fetishes? Like, who sits there and thinks, man is alive to be pissed and shit on? Oh, man's alive to be pissed and shit on. Take care, fellas. Jaden.
God damn it. Classic Jake.
Wow. I don't know where those accusations came from.
It's also funny. It's like, we do this every Tuesday, but people don't understand. Like, when we're at the festivals, like, we're just three buddies. And every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, no, for real. Like, we do a podcast every Tuesday. People are like, what?
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Cobb's friend had no idea. He's like, who are you here in Meltdown? Like, who you know around this part of the beach? I'm friends with Cobb. And I was like, yeah, I know Cobb. And I was like, oh, how do you know Cobb? And I was like, I've been doing a podcast with him for like 9 years or something, man. And he's like,
damn, who was it?
Cobb does a podcast? Yeah. I can't remember his name right now, man.
Did he have sunglasses on?
Yep.
Kind of like a hood?
Maybe, yeah. It was very funny. Cobb's got like longtime friends that just have no idea about this. Blew his mind.
Dude, most people in my life have no idea this exists. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what it is, man. For I don't know how other people live their lives or whatever, but people think I'm mysterious, and I feel like I just do my thing, and people are welcome to listen or not listen.
You are mysterious.
But how? But like, what should I be like writing a dossier of like what I'm up to every day?
His friend said, "I already thought he was mysterious. Now you're telling me he's had a podcast. I was like 9 years, like 400 episodes or something, man. Like we counted them differently over the pandemic, but like non-pandemic episodes were over 300.
Well, hear me out. So it's two things. Number one, you are mysterious. So we've talked about this. Like people are like, is he coming or not? I'm like, I don't know. It's one of my best friends, but I'm not positive. But I think for the podcast angle, whereas like when people bring up podcasts, I feel like Matt and I are just more apt to be like, actually, you know what? I do a podcast as well. Whereas you'll sit in a conversation about podcasts and never mention it.
I totally do, dude.
So I'm like,
dude, that kind of stuff happens to me all the time, actually. Yeah, you're not wrong. Like I've been in so many conversations where like, dude, these people were talking about, they were talking about some software thing for like an hour and a half. And then like, I gave some opinions, whatever. And then like 2 hours later, they found out from my girlfriend, I had been doing like hardcore programming classes for 3 months. And they're like, wow, he didn't even mention it. Like, that's what he does for 10 hours a day. Like, wow, it never came up.
I told you my brother's friend, when they visited you in Austin, like, right. Like I don't, you guys are talking about whatever, you know, popcorn shops or how you'd started to float. Do you just give an information and then you hop on your scooter and ride off? And my brother said, his buddy looks at him and goes, all right, you got to help me out. What is going on with that guy? That seems like a lot of information. And he leaves on a scooter. Like, who is this guy? And my brother's like, well, it's one of my brother's good friends. They do a podcast together. He has done that stuff.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah, well, you know, if I knew how to be less mysterious, I would for sure. Greetings, fellas. Bikini baristas. What's that?
I need to be more mysterious.
It is funny. Yeah. You have 400 plus episodes of you being very honest here. Like you're not filtered at all. Yeah, here we are, like still mystified. And I'm with Ted on this one, by the way. I still think you're mysterious. Like I'm just saying it's wild because I'm like, I do sit with him every single week and he talks very openly for an hour.
Yeah, we've talked for 400 hours. Like it's like you guys are my therapists at this point.
We're just stumped.
We're all in trouble if this is just one giant therapy session.
Dude, well, you know, I like to think that maybe it's because I don't fit nicely into a box, but I would say probably more likely is that I'm sort of a reserved person and not as open as you guys. Greetings, fellas. Bikini baristas versus strippers. When I dated the dancer at Little Darlings, they definitely looked at the baristas as Bush League. All puns intended. Though some double dipped and took home nearly 200K profiting off their youth. Whoa. It's impressive. C-Tech sucks. I'll pay the extra for PDX. I started flying out of Portland in 2017 and have never regretted it. But one time I've been back to C-Tech in 2021, I definitely remembered why I switched. I'm guessing that this person lives between the two. Like I'm going to say, you know, somewhere in Southern Washington. Piercings and tats. I swear I'm the outlier and tats are not my thing, which suck because I swear every girl making money off her looks is covered now. And while some get great work, mostly the detention room desk comes to mind. I don't know what that is. Do you guys know what that is?
Like a room, if you're in detention, like people are just scribbling stuff all over the desk. I'm guessing the analogy.
Yeah, that was a funny line.
That is a good line, dude. I was like interpreting it as like some sort of casting couch type thing. Like, well, some get great work. Like, mostly they end up on the casting couch, and I'm like, thought we were still. I'm my one track mind kind of guy. So detention room desk comes to mind. It's a rare chest piece or leg and arm sleeve that changes my gut opinion. But I'm a sucker for some piercings. Me too, man. Especially, off topic. How will I end up on a list? Easy. I want a copy of the Anarchist's Cookbook. It's basically the Bible for redneck kids wanting to make napalm, pipe bombs, tiger traps, and all sorts of things that were okay to play with in the 60s or early 2000s, but not today. Cheers and LARP on, the friendly IT guy.
Yeah, that's fair. But I feel like it's a popular enough book, you'd be okay.
Dude, I remember when that thing hit and we were so excited to read through it and we were blown away. The author has since regretted it because I guess some of that stuff has been used in multiple pretty big, well-known pipe bomb incidents. I can think of one off the top of my head, but yeah. And so the writer of it has initially he was like all about it being open source and being everywhere and not being censored and stuff, which honestly was pretty cool. I could get on board, but now he's totally changed his tune and he's like, that was a huge mistake to put that out. So kind of interesting, but yeah, I remember when that thing was all the rage, it was like underground, you know, that was like one of the first underground things I feel like I dealt with. I don't know. You guys remember the Anarchist Cookbook?
I mean, I know the name, but I don't know enough about it. I've never read it. I just, you know what? That's a lie. I'm confusing two words. I don't know the Anarchist Cookbook.
Dude,
I wouldn't Google it.
Yeah, don't Google it, but
Alchemist.
Yeah, so anarchist, obviously, like, you know, somebody who does not believe in structured government, and then cookbook, it's like following recipes for stuff you want to do. So put those together and you have the Anarchist Cookbook, which is essentially if you want to be a protester or an anarchist and you want to learn how to do things with common household materials that are going to cause pain and harm, then that's what people used for a long time. And so it's like, you know, recipes for things like pipe bombs and, like you said, napalm and, you know, how to pick locks and just crazy stuff. It's like very, you know, anti-power structures, basically. And, kind of interesting, but you know, I was like probably 13 or something, so like I was super excited about it, but you know, it could be very dangerous in the wrong hands, that's for sure. But it was just recipes on all that kind of stuff, like before you had YouTube and WikiHow and whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that's part of the problem. I go to a lot of protests, but you get those anarchist people in there and it's a different environment. Like, they're just out there to cause mayhem. It's like, right, well, we're losing our message, you guys just blowing up crap.
Also, I mean, I just drew that A lot when I was like 11 and 12 without really knowing what it means. So it doesn't mean a lot to me now. If I see it somewhere, I'm like, yeah, it was probably just some punk kid that doesn't even know what it's all about. Like, would you listen to one punk rock record and think, oh, I got an idea and grab a Sharpie? Nice.
Dude, my thought is always like, if we have total anarchy, like, just think about the supply chain. Okay, not too big of a deal. Like, what are you going to do for shoes 3 years from now? You know what I mean? Like, if you wear contacts, you're done for. Glasses, done for. Sunscreen, done for. Like, all that stuff is gone. And, like, those are, like, not even that necessary products. Like, you want to go see a dentist? Too bad. There aren't dentists anymore. You know what I mean? Like, just rogue, like, bands of humans trying to take over other sections of humans. I don't know, man. It would get pretty crazy, so... I'm right, definitely like, not pro-anarchy.
And anarchy is too extreme for my taste, right? Like, I and I'm stealing this line from my brother, and I'm sure other people have said it, but, like, two things can be true. I can have issues with this country and still know that there's nowhere else I'd rather live than this country. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when
I thought you were going to say anarchy is too extreme. Like, I'm more for, like, local government overthrow.
No, I'm just saying, like, you can protest and have issues with something, you know what I mean? Like, you can have a girl that you love that's your girlfriend, your wife, but like, I love her, I still got issues with her, doesn't mean I don't love her.
Yeah, of course. And I feel like I've weirdly become more patriotic as I've gotten older in understanding how flawed and effed up this country is. I mean, we have some policies that obviously I strongly disagree with, you know, from a moral geopolitical standpoint. But at the end of the day, though, like, the environment really does foster a lot of innovation and positivity. And it's amazing that we can keep it all together. And so I do get like a little teared up, you know, during the national anthem and stuff, because it is a crazy, crazy place to live, man, both good and bad. But some of the innovations and advancements that have come out of this country are pretty incredible. And we benefit from them. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a friend that's a super progressive guy, and he moved to, I can't remember if it was Norway or one of those Nordic countries. And he's like, going on and on about this and that. He's never traveled in the States. He just moved over there. And I'm like, you should calm down and look at the history of some of those countries. Why don't you dig into the history of the place you're living now and get back to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think they got all those beautiful women? Okay. The Vikings stole them from everyone else. But, you know, I mean, I'm mostly with you, Ted, except I don't necessarily believe that this is like the greatest country on earth, but I am proud to be a part of this crazy experiment. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Should we check in with what's mattening?
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out with what's mattening.
Sure. First of all, yeah, last time I got real patriotic, I was excited. I was just like, man, here's this like Old Spice body wash with, you know, French writing on it. It's like, this has nothing to do with France. That's just, we're just trying to look fancy here at Procter & Gamble or whoever, you know, some mega corporation behind it. Just consumerism at its finest, and I loved it. I loved smelling like, you know, Fiji that day or whatever it's called. Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic marketing. And so I posted it and was like, this just makes me feel patriotic. That was January 6th, 2021. I was like, damn, not the day I'm trying to go with the patriotic label, actually. Looking back.
That's too good. That's too good.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Yeah. So we talked about Meltdown. We're recording this and releasing it a day late because last night I did some cool stuff. It was Tyler's birthday, and we went up to the mountains up above Palm Springs. It's mountain town vibes. It's trees and shade and stuff and 40 degrees cooler. And they have a bed and breakfast up there, which is like a bed and breakfast so you can smoke weed at. And it was awesome. We got room 420. There's black lights in this like A-frame cabin you're on the upper part of. And the bed was just like in the ground. I sent Ted some pictures just because
it looked so dope.
Yeah. I was just like, Ted would appreciate this. I got to send him. You know, and I had service at the time, and then I lost service quickly thereafter, and then they pre-sent the pictures a few times, I'm told. So
yeah.
It's like, Matt must be really stoked.
God, I'm sitting at dinner, and like every 2 minutes, my phone, but it's the same four awesome pictures. So I look at my buddy, I go, oh, he's in and out of service. I'm just going to, so finally I just text him like, hey man, got him. I think your phone's tripping. He's like, shit, my bad. I was like, I know exactly what's going on.
That's right.
It's a cocaine and breakfast. I'm just really excited. Just send.
Send now.
I was high, dude. I barely got those off. Like, then, yeah. It's like, you're hearing spirit, man. There was a gnome on it. We saw gnomes. So there's a gnome at the entry. That's why I sent Ted the first photo, because, you know, right. Ted, you know, will forever be associated with gnomes after those booty shorts.
He's a gnome guy. I get it.
Yeah.
Gnome up.
It was a great time. It was really, really fun. They had a volcano in the room. So just taking a lot of bags to the face, and woke up, ordered a Mary waffle, which is just a weed leaf shaped waffle with some green dye in it. And it was delicious. And then we watched Men in Black. And, you know, it's just 10 out of 10 experience, guys.
I feel like we watched Men in Black.
I feel like the Bud and Breakfast, like your first is Bud, so it's like the breakfast is going to be awesome either way.
Yeah,
they could have rolled out an Eggo, and you would have been like, greatest waffle I've ever had.
Yeah. They went above and beyond. There's all sorts of like little awesome details that, you know, I was like, this person has been to a few festivals and just was like, all right, we're making a building out of this. We're making a business out of this. you know, once weed turns legal, and yeah, it's they got it figured out. It was awesome. So, yeah, thanks for understanding the delay, and you know, made it worth it, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, no worries. Right, and the pictures looked awesome, but I was just like, wait a minute, it's the same four pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess it's about that time. Let's get into the Cobb topic.
Boo, ba-doo, ba-doo, boo, boo.
Cobb topic. One of you guys. Cobb topic. All right, boys. All right, we're slipping. Okay. Sorry. I know we're all broadcasting from home, but come on.
Well, usually Matt says it first, then yeah, I call it up. Come on, man.
That was my bad.
He's stuck in the bed and button breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Still high. All right. So I went to the Mariners game today, and, you know, I was kind of. My buddy who I was there with was telling me about some of these crazy player salaries. And I was just like, dude, how does that make sense? There's no way that the league can afford that. And he's like, well, you know, they have so many games that they can do so much ad revenue. And, you know, and I start looking around and there's all these ads all over the stadium and they all seem pretty forgettable. I'm like, ah, yeah, I don't know. That doesn't really do it for me. And I was thinking about, like, I'm a big, like, you know, PR marketing ad guy. And I was just like, dude, what are like those ads that I'll like remember forever? Like there's probably less than 10 that I've like seen on TV that I remember forever. So anyway, Cobb topic this week, what's a commercial you'll never forget? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. If you're thinking of a funny one, just send it in, man. I'm sure we'll remember it. That'd be fun to talk about. But anyway, like, you know, there's a couple iconic ones that I want to drop on you guys, which is like one, like clap on, clap off the clapper. Yeah, so Ted Clapp, exactly. And then, like, I don't know, there was, like, obviously, like, the I don't want to take too many, but the one other one that I love is, like, collect call from Bob, we had a baby, eats a boy. And, like, who was that, dear? It was Bob. They had a baby. It's a boy. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah.
I don't know, I always love that one. So, anyway, yeah. Like, I don't know, anything for either of you guys?
The carpet company, Empire Today.
Oh, yeah. 2-800 Empire Today.
Right. That one's pretty good. I'd say one that sticks in my head, even though I don't like it, is the Cars for Kids commercial.
Oh, my God. I know.
I would say overall, though, also real quick, baseball makes so much corporate money off like the suites and everything. Like they basically, you don't even need to show up to the stadium for them to make money. But I would also say the This Is SportsCenter ad campaign, where there's like,
oh, yeah, those are so good.
That's one of the best. And then I'll stop. But also, do you guys remember office linebacker Terry Tate?
Terry Tate, you're the office linebacker. Yeah, yeah, of course.
You need to put in a TPS report or cover sheet on your TPS report, Richard.
Dude, yeah, those This Is SportsCenter ones are so good too. Like, there's so many. The one I love is when it's like Ovechkin and somebody else, and he's like, "Oh, just doing some late night filings." Oh, I thought you're like a Russian spy or something. And then he like goes up the rope into like the grid ceiling. You know, it's so good. Yeah, that whole series is so good, man. I love that.
Even just the stupid one, where they're like waiting in line to get into the campus in Bristol. And then there's like a whole party float behind him and it's Drew Brees. And he's like, what are we waiting for? Like, as if because he's the quarterback of the Saints, he's always on a Mardi Gras float.
Dude, I have another one. I bet you guys can finish it. I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Called J.G. West.
Yeah. 877 cash now. You got it, Ted. Hell yeah.
Matt?
Dude, Ted, the first two answers you gave both started with the letters C-A-R, and neither one of them was a Carl's Jr. Paris Hilton commercial. I was a little bit shocked.
Yeah, I didn't think my first answer. Commercials. Remember the one for Doritos 3D?
Oh yeah,
Ali. Oh, yeah. Somebody like, yeah. There is a lot of sexy good commercials. Sex sells, boys. It even sells burgers.
And then there was one, I think it was Carl's Jr. too, back in the day with Shaq, like eating a burger and getting ketchup all over his new shoes. And then I cracked my face open before a basketball game and then I had white shoes with blood all over them. And while I was in the ER, one of the guys that worked at the hospital, his brother, which was like, you know, it was some humor in a painful time, but he was like, damn, you like Shaq in those commercials, man. I was like, that's good. Like, I'm bleeding out of my face right now, but that's hilarious, man. So that's why that one sticks out too.
I mean, I could do this all day. Also, I'd have to look it up again, but I'm almost positive somebody told me once that like commercials, they honestly work a lot better on guys. Like for some reason, not that we always buy the products, but we just retain like the funny little things about them. And right,
here
like,
we are.
Yeah, right. And it's like, oh, three dudes really like commercials.
Exhibit A.
I mean, dude, you know what other series I really like actually? It's like Protect Yourself from Mayhem, like me.
Oh,
like that whole series has been really good too.
Great. Mayhem's good. Who's Flo for Progressive's pretty good.
Like, yeah. Dude, you remember for like a 10-year period, there was all the like, can you hear me now? Good.
Oh, yeah. And remember, was it Sprint? Or I forget where that guy started, but it was either Sprint or Verizon, like, bought that dude. And was like, he's like, I'm over here now. And I was like, I fucking love it. You know what? Good for that guy.
Get him. Get that bag, son.
Right?
Get that telecom bag.
Get it. You know what? You call them PJs. It's a private jet. You win.
Dude, and you know that commercial worked so well. And after a while, like, they just weren't respecting him the same way at, you know, wherever. Like, and he's like, all right, fine. Like, you don't want me? Like, I got offers. Like, there's only four telecom companies, but three of them are calling me. That's awesome. I feel like he was at Sprint and went to Verizon, but I don't know.
That's what I think too.
I think you guys got it backwards.
Do we?
Yeah. I think it was Verizon and Sprint.
Nice. I honestly, again, have no idea. I know the misinformation.
For all the times that all three of us are wrong, we got one of us is right this time.
The research only says that guys retain commercials. It doesn't say we use the products. Oh, man.
Nice voice.
All right. Well, I think, Matt, obviously we should title this one Therapy Session, since apparently that's what you've been doing for 9 years. Yep. What else is
going on? Big time, boys. Big time.
Our buddy Taryn Daly is doing a MS Benefits Saturday night at Poor Decisions. I think that's technically Ballard.
Yeah.
Look it up. It's a cool brewery, but her mom has MS, been battling for years. So it's great calls. I promised her we'd give her some love. So go out and check that out. Also, if you ever want to go fishing, check out the First Light Fishing. I think it's Fishing Tours. I should have looked that up. That's my buddy Mike that runs that. He's a good dude. And yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to pimp that one a few times. Anything you guys got anything else going on? Cobb, I know you're still around. Matt, you're down in Palm Springs.
Is it fishingfirstlight.com? Charterboat First Light?
Correct.
In Destin, Florida?
Nope, that's not it.
Okay. First Light Fishing looks like maybe. Sorry, I'm trying to cruise through them as fast as I can.
Destin, Florida.
I think First Light Fishing. Sesuit Harbor. Nope, that's Massachusetts. I saw an orca, so I thought it was us. Yeah, never mind. So let's just back out of this.
First Light Guide Service.
See, Ted, that's the thing people don't realize. With us doing this for, I don't know, we haven't really decided on a number of years, but 400 episodes, I got your back. Bought you a little bit of time with some Destin, Florida ads. Boom, Ted comes back with the right info. It's the right guys at the right time. A welcome to this information.
Yeah, Mike's a great dude. And honestly,
we're almost too professional, boys. You never think that sometimes?
Just a little.
All the time. I'm like,
we flirt with that line.
Yeah, these guys are almost too good.
But look up First Light Guide Service. Mike's a good dude. And honestly, like, you might have a friend that has a boat to go salmon fishing or whatever. When you're with a professional like him and all you got to do is reel it in, it's a lot of fun. All right, so we'll be back next week. Then the week after that, I'll be in Montana. But we'll be back next week. I'm just very proud that I'm going to Montana to chill for a week on a lake.
Good dude, news. That's awesome. What are you? Yeah, we can talk after. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyhow, we'll be back next week. Everybody have a good weekend. Don't forget your sunscreen. Lord knows I've been caking it on. But for MCTP, for Cobb, and Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.